Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on NOVAM Radio. Thank you for jumping into the barrel with me tonight. We do appreciate it. Boy, what a day, huh? The right-wingers are just all a Twitter with the Democratic Party is obviously in self-destruct mode. Obviously, Nancy Pelosi can't govern her own caucus. Obviously, Jack Murtha is a criminal. Obviously, Steny Hoyer is possibly even a worse criminal. Obviously, obviously, obviously. Jesus! Can you believe this today? All the pundits, all the right-wing talk show hosts, even some Democrats, all the Republicans that are walking around with their hands down their waistbands, they're so happy. About what? These are Democrats, you morons. You Republican morons. We never, ever get into lockstep the way you people do. Jeez. What an orgy of just deconstructing the Democratic, massive Democratic victory of a week ago. Have you noticed that? And what's happening to my friend Jim Carville? It looks like his wife finally bored a hole in his head and let all his common sense leak out. Man. You don't hear Mary Magdalene talking the way James Carville is talking about. Well, we should have won more seats. We should have won more. If it hadn't been for that damn Howard Dean and his 50-state strategy. Oh, come on, James! Don't go bonkers on us. Come on, come on. But you see, this is the Democratic Party. This is what we do. This is what we do. What is amusing to me is to watch the pundits and the talk show hosts and the... And I thought Wolf Blitzer a couple times a day was just going to have a hernia from... You know, it's just, oh, it's awful out there. What are the Democrats doing? You know, finally they come out from their caucus, from their meeting to decide who's going to be the majority leader. And everybody says, yeah, it's not going to be Murtha. It's going to be Hoyer. Okay, now, let's get down to the real business. Sending these sons of bitches to prison! Or something like that. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? We'll talk about it a little bit later on tonight. Oh, my God, and to watch these Republicans, I didn't listen. Did you listen to Limbaugh today, Gabby, when you were stripping the fireplace? You didn't listen? No? No, if you listen to him, don't email me. Don't tell me. I really don't care. But I would imagine that Limbaugh was just, now that he's becoming just like a blown-up balloon again, now that he's off his hillbilly heroin, he's on something else. I don't know what he's on now. But he's getting out of control again. Here he goes again, you know? I would imagine. Well, let me see here. We reported, was it just last night, that the Marines Toys for Tots program had decided not to take the Bible-quoting Jesus dolls? Good God, 24 hours later, it's been reversed. The Marine Reserve say, okay, they'll accept these Bible-quoting Jesus dolls, which reverses the course that they had earlier this week that they wouldn't take them. The Toys for Tots, on its website Wednesday, yesterday, as a matter of fact, said, the talking Jesus doll issue has been resolved. Toys for Tots has found appropriate places for these items. We have notified the donor of our willingness to handle this transaction, end quote. Now, this little note on their website didn't explain why they did a flip-flop or what Toys for Tots would do with the dolls. I think they ought to just turn it into something cute and funny. And if there are any Muslims and Jews, as the Toys for Tots Foundation said originally, they didn't want a Jesus talking Jesus doll because the Muslims and Jews might get these presents. Little Jewish or Muslim children might get them on Christmas morning. And you just want to grab the nearest Marine Reserve Toys for Tots guy and say, the Jews and the Muslims don't celebrate Christmas. But assuming that some little Jewish kid or little Muslim kid is going to get a talking Jesus doll, well, that's what they ought to do now. They're to turn this thing completely around and go down the list, and whenever they find a Muslim-sounding name or a Jewish-sounding name, just drop off the kid a Jesus talking doll. And kids stand there and go, what is this? This doesn't look like a dreidel. What is this? Spin it, little boy. Unbelievable stuff, huh?
Jesus, 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 I made it out of clay.
All right, Kathy, come on. You're becoming anti-religious. You were such a good girl before you and I got married, you know. Your mother used to be proud. Used to sing in a choir, church choir. Here's tonight's quiz. Who said this? I think for us to get American military personnel involved in a civil war inside Iraq would literally be a quagmire. Once we got to Baghdad, what would we do? Who would we put in power? What kind of government would we have? Would it be a Sunni government, a Shia government, a Kurdish government? Would it be secular along the lines of the Ba'ath Party? Would it be fundamentalist Islamic? I do not think the United States wants to have U.S. military forces accept casualties and accept the responsibility of trying to govern Iraq. I think that makes no sense at all. Dick Cheney, April 7th, 1991, when he was Secretary of Defense. These evil bastards. Who's going to be the last soldier or Marine to die for Dick Cheney? Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. I've got about 8 emails today that the Carlyle Group has bought Clear Channel, all 1,500 Clear Channel radio stations. I don't know. I have no idea what the gist of that story is. Last night when we had the right-wing moron from Phoenix on who came to the program saying, I come in peace, and then proceeded to try to tell us that the Scandinavian countries were actually hell on earth. I got more than a couple, but I just want to share a couple of quick emails with you. Douglas in Berkeley, California wrote, Hi, Mike. I'm here shaking my head in astonishment and nodding in recognition at the same time. I just listened to you rip a new one into that moron from Phoenix. You know, Scandinavians are unproductive. In the last few years, I have become so ashamed of Americans and recognize that much of it is due to this weird self-centeredness that so many Americans have, like that moron in Phoenix. Scandinavians couldn't possibly be as successful as America. It's all America. It's all me, 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 like children. If there is anyone or anything doing better than America, they won't admit that maybe we should change our ways, adapt, evolve. No, that would be admitting errors. Like Bush, no faults, just say, stay the course, and slander those who actually have a better way. I live in the Bay Area and must deal with the same kind of obscene traffic that you have mentioned in Atlanta. As a solution, I ride a motorcycle, which allows me to bypass the toll booths for free, ride in the commuter lanes, and even ride between cars legally. It is incredible how often right-wingers in monstrous SUVs or Hummers literally will try to run me off the road because I found a better, more efficient way rather than their obese and inefficient methods of commuting. This is perhaps a poor analogy, but it gives me a clear insight into the greedy, self-centered mindset of fascist America. Just this morning, a Nazi in a brand new behemoth Hummer looked straight in my eye as he tried to squeeze me and my bike between his Hummer and a van because I am exercising a better method and leaving him far behind. Do you think such an... I can't say that word, Douglas. Do you think such a blank gives a rat's ass about Iraqis dying? Not if it means cheap gas for his Hummer, he doesn't. I really think that sort of mentality is very prevalent in the Bush government. And these blankers would rather kill us all than change the obese, inefficient, and obscene system that is killing 99% of this country while enriching their 1% way beyond avarice. I only wish that moron from Phoenix left his radio on long enough to hear you shred his brainwashed parroting. However, I am sure that once he was confronted with your informed rebuttal, he quickly turned the radio off or back to the local Nazi channel to be soothed by, Onward, Lemming! The cliff is a commie liberal lie! From Douglas in Berkeley, California.
There's a spirit of achievement all around.
What?
Where opportunity
He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
It's hard for me to say I didn't have pictures with the guy when I did. I mean, people, it's part of the job of the president is to shake hands and with people and smile.
He's in the jailhouse now.
Well, what he's referring to there is Jack Abramoff, and what is the proper article of speech. Abramoff went to jail, as you know, yesterday, and sentenced to 6 years, and he sent an email to his friends before heading off to the slam. I want you to hear a little bit of this. On the subject line, it says, "My last email for a while. My dear friends, I hope that you will forgive the impersonal nature of this email. I write this to you on the eve of my incarceration. I'm not sure how long I will be in prison, but hope that it is not too long before we have a chance to see each other again. First, I wanted to thank you for standing by Pam, the kids, and me during this very difficult period. Unfortunately, things are going to get worse, starting today, no doubt, before they get better. But I am confident that ultimately the turmoil will subside and we will have our lives back. One day, God willing, we will know why all of this had to happen." Yeah, he wrote that. God willing, you blasphemous pig. What do you mean, God willing? You'll figure out, you'll know why all this had to happen because you're a thug and a criminal and a creep and a fraud artist and a bunko scam con kill the Christian Indian person. Jeez. One day, God willing, we will know why all this had to happen. Maybe it's because I'm a criminal and a creep and I'm ugly. And I defiled Judaism, and I ripped off the Christians, all that whole Christian Ralph Reed bunch. God, that was like picking cherries in an orchard. Oh, and the Indians? Whoa, 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 whoa. Hi-ya, hi-ya, hi-ya. Oh, it was fun doing them in. Jesus, talk about collecting scalps. But maybe one day we'll know why God, in his email, he spells it the Orthodox way, G-D, so that, you know, it won't offend God, I guess. What's that? My name is being written in an email? Kill him! Ah, these people. One day, God willing, we will know why all of this had to happen. In the meantime, we soldier on. No, Jack, you don't soldier on. You go to prison where somebody, for sure, now we know you were a wrestling champ or a boxing champ, but at some point, maybe a year or two from now, somebody's going to say, Jack, would you like a massage? Soldier on. What do you think prison is? Then he writes, several friends have inquired as to how to stay in contact during this next phase. Though I am grateful for this interest and would, of course, be thrilled by any contact. Tell me that about a year from now, sweetheart. I hope that no one will feel at all obligated to be in touch during this time. Having said that, here's the situation. The questions I have been asked revolve around the following topics. Mail, visits, telephone, and email. Mail. Mail is probably the easiest way to stay in touch. Unfortunately, this means snail mail through the good old U.S. Post Office. The federal prison system permits inmates to receive letters, photos, and periodicals, but that's pretty much it. Unfortunately, if anything else is sent, it will either be destroyed or returned to you. As for letters, please bear in mind that the authorities have the right, in my case, probably will use it, to read all incoming and outgoing mail. Also, I almost certainly will want to write back to you, and since I don't know whether they are going to limit our stamps, envelopes, and paper, if possible, perhaps you could include a self-addressed stamped return envelope and even a blank sheet of paper in that envelope. I am not sure that the return envelope will make it to me, but if not, you'll know as soon as you get my return letter. In any event, as you can imagine, I will be beyond grateful for any mail from you. Here's my address at the prison. Christ, it sounds like he thinks he's going to summer camp. Well, I don't know if the counselors will let me write as I lay here on my bunk. Boy, are you in for a shock, Jack. And he goes on to explain about his visits he's permitted and telephone, how he can use a telephone, and then email. He says, email. I saved the easiest topic for last. Simply, there is no email. There is no internet access, and there are no computers. If I'm lucky, I'll have access to an electronic or possibly a manual typewriter, but even that is not certain. I hope they offer penmanship classes. I don't think so. Jack? In closing, I hope that we will all have a chance to be together after all of this is over. The nightmare has gone on for almost 3 years so far, and I expect we're not even halfway through. I have learned more lessons in the past 3 years than I have my whole life, and I'm hoping that my family and I can see the good in G-D's plan for us during these times and gain strength from it. I hope that he, capital H, blesses you in all your endeavors and keeps you and your family safe. Yours faithfully, Jack Abramoff. You whiny-ass con. You scummy criminal. You rip-off artist. How many people did you make fun of? How many people did you jerk around? How many millions did you steal? How much perversion did you dump on the democratic system of self-governance in the United States? You filthy pig. You hope God sees you. You understand God's message? Let me tell you what God's message is, Jack. He thinks you're an ass. He's turned away from you. He's never going to look at you again. He's going to reach down before your jail term's over, pinch your ugly head off, throw it into hell where the demons will use it as a soccer ball. Forget. It's about 26 before the hour. No, nothing's wrong with your radio. I just kept talking there when I should have got out of the way of the break coming. This Abramoff thing is just so screwy. These people who commit some of the most vile fraud against their fellow human beings and chuckle and laugh as they do it. You know, Abramoff and all of the people involved in Abramoff in the Republican Party, and it was a Republican scam. I don't care what anybody tells you. This was a Republican operation, and its tentacles into these creepy religious thugs like Ralph Reed, who got defeated down here in the primary to be lieutenant governor of Georgia. Even the crackers down here, there's a limit to how far they'll go of having Jesus urinated on by these phony right wing Christians. But it, all the damage, just like. The Bush family, which one was it, Marvin? Which one of the Bushes was involved in the SNL scandals? Billions of dollars down the toilet. People who commit crimes on the scale of Abramoff or members of the Bush crime family or Tom DeLay, there is no moral sense in these people whatsoever. They are totally amoral. There's nothing there. The little room in which Jiminy Cricket lives, the conscience, it's gone. It's dead. That room was filled up with poisonous gas when these people were 2 years old. And anything with any kind of a sense of morality that might have lived in that little room is long gone. And then he has the audacity, the nerve to invoke the name of God? Well, I don't know what God's plan is. God's plan is to send your ass to prison, you freak. That's God's plan. You're living it. No questions there, Abramoff. You're a thug. You're a punk. You're a criminal. Man.
Well, maybe at some point we can figure out what is God's plan for why all this had to happen.
Isn't it astonishing how all these criminals find God right on their way to jail? Think about Ken Lay.
Oh, yeah.
Right before God killed him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Abramoff, take a look at your buddy Ken Lay. You know, he got started talking that God stuff, and all of a sudden, phew! Hello?
Never mind, I'm dead. But this means my estate won't have to pay all that money back. So I may be dead, but I win. These people are sick. I don't like them. I just really don't like them.
Our senior correspondent sent me an email about the Marine Reserve's reversing course on the Talking Jesus doll. Chris says they can do that, but not the massacre in Iraq. They can't reverse on that. It goes to show you the priorities of this country's military, doesn't it? Well, the military leaders, I'll guarantee you, there's not a soldier Marine in Iraq. All right, there may be some of the skinheads that are in the uniform now, since the U.S. military has lowered its standards into the toilet in order to fulfill its enlistment requirements. But other than the skinheads and the racists and the haters and the rapists and the people who will rape and murder 14-year-old little girls, other than those people, the honorable members of the United States military, to the last man or woman, I would be willing to bet, would say, okay, we're ready to come home. Why? Because there is no mission. In every military adventure, there is at least a mission. There is none here. None. Nothing. Zero. So the only people who are willing to stay in Iraq and continue to kill are the ones who probably would have been attempted mass murder in the streets of the United States, or, like Timothy McVeigh, will attempt it when they come back. After you heard, if you're listening to the newscast online, the Marine who was it a Marine who pled guilty for the murder of the family and the horrible atrocity of that 14-year-old girl, sentenced to life in prison. And will now testify. He did that so he escaped the death penalty, if you can believe that. Where's your courage, soldier? Now it says that what Iraq did was make him angry. Well, okay. About the nutball caller last night who tried to tell the 150 listeners to this program that the Scandinavian countries were a failure, I got this from Sweden. Hey, Mike, your caller who called Scandinavian countries failures was a hoot, and thanks for roundly dismissing him. I've been living in Sweden since 1983, having met a Swedish woman in Kansas and followed her home in this country that's called stalking. Failure? Last night's number two story on the news here was the growth of 50,000 jobs this autumn. It's the equivalent of the size of Ohio, or on a per capita basis, it would be 1.7 million U.S. jobs in a couple of months. The Swedes were expecting only 20,000 jobs, and 50,000 were created this autumn. Incidentally, the number one story last night here was a follow-up of Kofi Annan's statement in Nairobi yesterday that world leaders had to get more serious about global warming, a statement that I'm betting did not make the Wednesday's U.S. mainstream media news. Over here, the Swedes devoted two-thirds of the night's news to what is being done and what needs to be done. My father was a lawyer, and all of the accompanying education that is supposed to confer, and is a lifelong Republican. He listened to Rush in his retirement and became just as ill-informed as your so-called true conservative who began, "I'm the real deal. I'm not like that piece of trash in the White House. I've never voted for Bush." Right. Just like three-fifths of all Americans over 60 attended Woodstock. My father finally came over to visit here in Sweden and was stunned to find BMWs and Mercedes as taxis, building cranes everywhere in Stockholm, even trees. He literally was expecting to find run-down, high-rise Russian block tenements and food lines outside of dingy shops with nearly empty shelves and bent-backed gray persons in patched Soviet greatcoats shuffling sadly for their daily lump of dark bread and moldy cheese. It's got to be a writer. I think he is a writer. For a few years afterwards, after coming over here to visit, he gushed how different it was, how wonderful. But then, as he slid into senility, went back into ditto-head certainty that Sweden was the civilian wing of the gulag. He kept telling me that, quote, "if it doesn't work out, come home," end quote. Meanwhile, during the Bush years, I've been telling my two brothers, quote, "if it doesn't work out, come here," end quote. Seriously, Mike, why don't you do a road show next time you need a vacation? Bring your family here, travel about Scandinavia, interviewing social service employees, union stewards, doctors, municipal politicians, everyday citizens, and talk to us here about our health care, our parental leave, our education, daycare, public transport, environmental policies, criminal justice, or any other issue that tickles the American fancy. Americans, especially the ditto heads, need to hear that America is not the only country with sliced bread. Signed, Scott. Yeah. But we're busy in this country, Scott, waging war on Hajis. I got a bunch of emails today also from people telling me that the new derogatory term for the people we are slaughtering and whose homes we are blowing up and whose land we are turning into radioactive mush are called Hajis. You know, we had Krauts and Dinks and Gooks and Slopes and Dagos, and now we have Hajis. Well, we're too busy over here killing people in Iraq, Scott, to really think too much about the Scandinavian countries. As a matter of fact, today, several security contractors, that means mercenaries, private military outfits, were abducted Several security contractors, including four Americans, were abducted today when a supply convoy was ambushed in southern Iraq. ABC News reported up to 14 people working for Crescent Security Group were kidnapped near Nasiriyah. ABC News reported a convoy stopped at what looked like an Iraqi police checkpoint. Initial reports were that 19 trucks were seized and 14 people detained. And then it was announced today that as many as 2,200 more Marines are being deployed to Iraq's most volatile, dangerous province for U.S. Military personnel, Anbar. U.S. Central Command officials told CNN that that deployment was going to occur within the next few days. They will be moved to Iraq from Camp Pendleton, California, on orders from General John Abizade, head of the U.S. Central Command. He was the guy that was on television the other yesterday in front of the, I shouldn't say on television, he was testifying in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, talking about how, well, we don't need any more Marines, we don't need any less, we don't need any more Army, we don't need any less. All we need is just to infiltrate the Iraqi military units and help them. You lying son of a bitch, it didn't take you 24 hours, did it? Here comes 2,200 more Marines who are going to be thrown into this meat grinder. 2,200 more, 24 hours after this go-along, get-along John Abizade lies under oath in front of Congress saying, no, we don't need any more. I don't want any more. John McCain and Lindsey Graham both asked him specifically and deliberately, do you need more? No. Do you need less? No. Deploy, a redeployment? No. Increase? No. Decrease? No. So now 2,200 more Marines are being sent. So that's what we're doing over here. In Scandinavia, Scott, you all may be talking about things like global warming, but we're involved in sending our best and brightest, the ones that are not skinheads, into Anbar province, where some of them will be killed just in time for Christmas.
No subliminable messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
It's about 10 before the hour. You know, I'm starting to get develop some questions about what happened on Election Day or this last election. Why we being Democrats won as many races as we did, why there were no overt, loud claims of fraud. Something is not right here. I'm not exactly sure what it is, and I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. I believe that's the proper old adage to use here. But I can't help but think that maybe Cheney's fingerprints are on this somewhere. I don't know. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Let's do some phone calls. Here's somebody who used to call us a lot back in the days. And before I bring him on, you have to know that when he finishes a phone call, he doesn't say goodbye. He just hangs up. So don't be freaked out. This is Joe calling from Brookings, Oregon. Joe, welcome to the program.
Yes.
I thought you died and moved to Seattle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're talking about Abramoff. What was it you said? He refers to God as G-D?
Yeah, it's an Orthodox Jewish way of referring to the Creator. You don't really say the name, you know, like the Muslims will say there is but one God and Allah is his name. The Orthodox Jews, on the other hand, will, don't say the name of God because it's blasphemous.
G-D. Well,
yeah,
Jesus,
that's how it's written.
Jesus H. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's kind of curious. You mentioned what was going on with Election Day. I think it's a big setup myself.
All right. Well, what is the payoff? If it's a setup, what's the payoff?
I think the setup is to go to Iran, and the any negotiations that might happen with Iran and Syria will blow up. Scott Ritter has mentioned on the Ray Taliaferro radio show in San Francisco that there's a 3-month window of opportunity for Bush to go to war in Iran. I don't remember all the details for why those would be the months, but that's what the Scott Ritter was talking about. And I've been thinking this myself about Election Day. How come there's no controversy at all about what happened on Election Day? That's exactly what I've been thinking for the last couple.
Well, there are a few districts that are still either haven't been decided because of what appears to be voter fraud or system malfunction. And there are a couple of lawsuits, I think, that have already been filed by voter rights groups. But they're so few and far between, and just makes you think, wait a minute, what happened? Because everybody knows that the system is corrupt now. And if the system is corrupt to the point where it can throw election one way, well, then it damn sure can throw it another. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yes, I wonder... there are very many of these stupid Republicans that have yet caught on to the fact that they were sabotaged by Bush and Cheney in the last week of the campaign. What does Bush do? He comes out and he says just 5 days before Election Day, oh, Donald Rumsfeld, he's going to stay on no matter what. Dick Cheney goes on television on one of the Sunday morning talk shows 2 days before the election. He says, oh, nothing's going to change in Iraq. Nothing at all. Well, that isn't what anybody wanted to hear. This is pure and plain sabotage, plain and simple.
Well, this is. I had the same thought. There's an article you need to read. It's written by Mike Whitney, and you can find it at informationclearinghouse.info. Informationclearinghouse.info, written by Mike Whitney. It's called Cheney's Revenge, and you really need to read this, Joe.
Well, I am already ahead of you. I already heard Tom Hartman talking about it.
Oh, Hartman already has been damn Hartman.
So just please, everybody, I will say good night, everybody.
Oh, well, good. All right. Joe? See what I mean? He disappears rather quickly. Yeah, if you haven't read it yet, go to informationclearinghouse.info and read this article, Cheney's Revenge. And it is so plausible and so weirdly plausible. I mean, it's to the point where there's been so much chicanery and double dealing and fraud and lies and deceit and corruption of language and filthy, filthy, filthy Republican machinations all over this country and globally and wars being started for no reason and death and destruction. That sometimes it feels like some kind of a macabre Looney Tunes film strip that we're all caught in. And that's the thing that gives this article or this column by Mike Whitney, Cheney's Revenge, some credence. I mean, in a sane world, we would read this column and go, oh, God, what's Mike Whitney been smoking? But we don't live in a sane world anymore. I don't know. The other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit before we get too deeply into the program, and that is the huge controversy created by the right-wingers and a few Democrats about how the Democrats are starting off on the wrong foot with Nancy Pelosi and Jack Murtha and Steny Hoyer and James Carville and all these people who all of a sudden... the right-wing pundits, whether they're Democrat or Republican or just media slobs, want you to believe. Already the attack, it's amazing to me. when the Republicans take over a branch of government specifically and solely to destroy it, corrupt it, pervert it, and break it into a million pieces, Wolf Blitzer and the rest of these right-wing pundits don't go on their little programs to go, well, look at this. They're stumbling. Is this leadership? Whether there was some dissent. Well, she wanted this guy. Well, Nancy Pelosi is demonstrating she can't lead. Or I mean, already it begins. Volumes spoken today, just verbal garbage all over the airwaves. And all the Democrats are doing is just being Democrats, just getting their ducks in order, deciding who will serve and who will eat. I mean, we all do that, don't we? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. Okay, time for the first hour's corrections. No, I appreciate it. I really do. This is from Chris, who writes, hi, Mike, just writing to set you straight on the God thing, the G-D thing. Orthodox Jews believe it is against their law to write the name of God on anything that can be thrown away, and that includes memos, stationery, even emails. God's name can only appear in Holy Scripture, which is never thrown away. Blah, 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 blah. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. I'm surprised Reggie over at TV News Live didn't write to me. And Reggie must have gone to bed early tonight. No, I appreciate it. I really do. We believe in correction. What do they call it? Errata and... what's the other word? Errors and corrections.
I love it when you talk dirty to me.
George in Alhambra, California, wrote in, hey, Mike, it seems the media created the perception over the past few days that the Democrats are already a party in trouble just because they were not in unison over who should be the majority leader. Somehow this was looked at as a sign of problems for the newly elected minority. I will borrow one of your famous newly elected majority. I will borrow one of your famous terms by saying bat squeeze to that opinion. Although I personally would have preferred Murtha, I think it's very healthy that Democrats did not bow down to Nancy Pelosi, who I like, and simply rubber stamp whom she preferred. I do not look at this as a party divided, but rather as a party where its members can individually speak for themselves without the threat or fear of consequences from the party leadership. This is a refreshing change of pace. I wonder if anyone else sees it that way. George in Alhambra. Yeah, well, that's specifically the point, excuse me, that I started thinking about today, too. Republicans cannot think independently. They're incapable. I don't care if it's a conservative. I don't care if it's somebody in a church, somebody in some sort of a societal situation, somebody in education, somebody in government. If they are conservative, they simply cannot think independently of whatever the party line is, whether the party line comes from their minister, their supervisor, their member of Congress, or Tom DeLay. The party line is the party line. And woe to the Republican or the conservative or the Bush sucker who varies from the party line. And that holds true. We've seen example after example of it over the past 6 years. Whistleblowers who tried to expose the crime of the Bush crime family are immediately cashiered. Military flag rank officers who tried to say, look, this is not the way it should be done in Iraq, are immediately forced to retire. Anyone who speaks independently who is a Republican. Well, first of all, they can't. Republicans are followers. They are not leaders. And media in this country also kind of follow the same, media spokespersons, television and radio. They follow the same same lockstep attitude. You will never, ever, ever, with the exception of Keith Olbermann and Jon Stewart, you will never see, and Stewart's program is comedy, you'll never see a news person who varies from whatever the story of the day is, the attitude of the day, whether it and it's not just Fox, it's CNN, it's MSNBC, like I say, with the exception of Keith Olbermann. A little tiny issue, such as discussion, debate, and dissent within the top tier of the Democratic Party about who's going to lead. In other words, who's going to serve and who's going to eat. That's something we all have to decide when we form alliances and move in with each other and say, okay, what's going to be the deal here? Is it going to be 4-4 beat or 3-3/4 beat, or what are we going to do? What are we going to do? That is open, healthy debate, unless you're a Republican. If you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, that's panic time. That's chaos. Independent thought? Oh, my Christ, no. Independent thought? Down that road lies, I don't know, homosexuality, abortion. Something lies down that road that's real scary. So they all stay in lockstep. And if their leader says, forward, march, right over the cliff, they go over the cliff. Well, maybe on my way down, I'll understand God's plan for why I'm falling over this cliff. Man. Democrats, and this is another thing Republicans don't understand. Republicans are part of a cadre. They're part of cells. They do what they're told to do. Massive cells of single mind. It's a single-minded organism. You get 3,000 Republicans in a room, and there is one mind that is controlling everything that goes on in that room. One mind. Democrats, on the other hand, you get 3,000 Democrats in a room, and there are 17,000 minds that are seeking control in that room, because Democrats are independent. They are thinkers. And not all of us think alike. Any party that can contain, what's his name? Waxman. Henry Waxman and Hillary Clinton in the same party? My God! That's a political party. Democrats are family. And this is what we do. When there's a big family reunion, you know how it works. I know nobody gets together at Christmas or Thanksgiving anymore. Maybe once in a while in the middle of the summer there'll be a family reunion. But you know what happens at family reunions. Republicans don't have family reunions. They get together and sit and stare at the walls and nobody says a word. Democrats get together and first there's a game of touch football and then it turns into tackle football. And then somebody pulls out a gun and shoots somebody. And of course, that's only in Georgia. But Republicans just sit there.
Can I stand up now?
Stand up.
Okay. Can I go to the toilet now?
Go to the toilet.
Okay.
And the political pundits and the news geeks, you know, they're not allowed to deviate. They can't deviate. Are you kidding? Deviate from whatever the supervising producer says. All right. All of today's news will focus on the inability of Nancy Pelosi. I mean, after all, she's a woman. What the hell do you expect? The inability of Nancy Pelosi to manage her own caucus. That's the party line today. Do you understand?
But maybe...
Shut up!
Okay.
Republicans don't understand how family works. They're not pro-family. They're anti-family. They're pro-death. They don't know how family works on a nuclear basis. They don't know how family works on a political party basis or a caucus basis. They do not understand. They just know that they're supposed to do what their preacher or their leader or the husband or the boss tells them to do. Sit down.
Okay.
Shut up.
All right.
So for the past week, That's what we've been seeing. Even in New York Times, Carl Hulse writing in the New York Times, the headline says, many say leadership race damages Democrats' image. Many? Who? Jackass? Who says that? Many? Many what? House members acknowledged on Wednesday that the increasingly bitter contest for majority leader was sullying the image of unity and new direction that Democrats hoped to convey. Representative Alan Tosher, a California Democrat who is supporting Representative Standing Hoyer of Maryland in the leadership vote on Thursday, said, it's 4 days and we haven't talked about our message and built on the euphoria. We had such perfect pitch last week. No, you didn't, Ellen. No, you didn't. And if you had perfect pitch, it's because you had your head in a mixer and it was going, this is the Democratic Party, Ellen.
Downtrodden Republicans were enjoying the spectacle of the split between Nancy Pelosi, who is publicly pushing John Murtha, her longtime ally, and Democrats rallying behind Mr. Hoyer, who is certain leadership shot. Representative Ray LaHood, Republican of Illinois, said, I can't believe they're self-destructing before they even get started. Everyone on our side is giddy. Everyone on your side is giddy, you jackass, because you've been drinking the Kool-Aid for how many years now? Go away, Ray LaHood, and for Christ's sake, change your last name.
Yeah, he said that while he was in Texas. Tomorrow should be an interesting program tomorrow evening because Too Stupid Wears Pants on Frontwards is going to be in Hanoi, if you can believe that. I can't wait till Bush gets there and says something like, hi, hey, everybody, where's Charlie? It's going to be a real pisser tomorrow when Bush, well, today, I guess it's already tomorrow, today, there, now, whatever. All right, one more item here, and I want to go to your phone calls, all right? I'll just do it in the form of an email from Prairie 2, who writes, hey, Mike, economist Milton Friedman died today at age 94. Proving once again the old axiom that only the good die young. The right-wing freaks and neocon men are falling all over themselves to heap praise on this monster. He dedicated his life to undoing everything Teddy Roosevelt did to end the Gilded Age. Friedman was responsible for every twisted economic theory the neocons have thrust onto the backs of the American middle class. He never met a laissez-faire economic policy he couldn't endorse. Couching everything in terms of personal freedom, from school vouchers to free trade to legalized prostitution, he gave the mask of academic respectability to corporate fascism. Even liberals fell under his spell with his recommendation of an all-volunteer army and his constant chat of more personal freedom, freedom to be poor, freedom to be sick, outsourced, etc. Just get rid of government regulation and the corporations will make us free. He's only dead if somebody pounded a stake through his heart. Whew. Okay. Yeah, I thought about bringing up Friedman, and I thought, nah, I'm not very good at talking about economic policymakers, but I think Prairie 2 just did an adequate job, you think, Kathy? You think that was adequate? We couldn't, yeah, okay. Oh, my goodness. And one last one here from our friend in Saskatoon, MAL. Wasn't Trent Lott elected to the speaker in a 25, not to be speaker, but a minority leader? What was he elected? Minority whip, not minority leader, that's the other freak from the South, from Kentucky. Mitch McConnell, who's just a pasty, it defines the word cracker. Trent Lott was elected in number two position, just like Steny Hoyer was today in the Democratic Party. Trent Lott's number two now in the Republican Party. And our friend in Saskatoon writes, wasn't Trent Lott elected in a 25-24 split? Wasn't that a sign of disunity among the Republicans? Did I just burp on the air? Oh, my God, I am so sorry. It's this damn Diet Coke. Oh, geez, now I'm going to get 87 emails telling me about the phosphorus in the Coke that's just sucking the calcium out of my bones, right?
And how tiny Chinese babies are sacrificed to make each little aluminum can.
Okay, let's do some phone calls here. After all, this is talk radio, right? Starting with Spitfire, our friend Doug, who's calling from Anaheim, California. Hey, Spitfire.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going
pretty
good.
Long time no hear, huh?
I know, but I know you're out there.
Yeah, I've archived the show regularly. Did you get my email?
Which one?
I got one that's on the electric Jesus doll.
Oh, yeah.
Is it powered by the Easter Bunny instead of the Energizer Bunny?
Right. You're so bad.
Yeah, I know.
You are so bad.
Okay, on James Carville.
Yeah.
Okay, he's sitting there griping and whining and everything because there are 15 seats that came in at 51-49 for the Republicans. I wonder how many of those were on electronic voting machines.
Yeah, really, and I don't understand what Carville's complaint is. I honest to God don't. I wish I did understand it. Maybe he's just being overly enthusiastic about the win and would have liked to have seen more of a win, but I don't know. I do believe possibly his wife, Mary Madeline, got to him and just, you know, has turned him inside out.
Well, there's a lot of talk about him being a mole anyway.
Really?
Yeah, that he turned in some vital information about the Kerry campaign to Karl Rove.
Well, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I stumbled on something like that online here. Yeah,
I had the absolute thrill of meeting Carville and the gala at a place here in Atlanta called Manuel's Tavern. Years ago, back during the Zell Miller days, back before Zell went crazy. And I liked him. I always thought, God, I wish I could travel the way these guys do and do the things they do. You ever met anybody like that where you just look at him and you go, God, I wish I could have your life, right?
Yeah.
Hey, hold on a second, Spitfire. We'll come back in a second. We got to take a break here. This is NoAM Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. Back to Spitfire, who's called in from Anaheim. Thanks for holding on, Doug.
No problem. You know this monkey that called in that was dissing the Scandinavian countries?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Europe?
I know it's not here.
Okay. There's a country
It's over there. I know there's a lot of water.
Okay. There's a country there called Liechtenstein.
Say it again, Spitfire.
Liechtenstein.
Right. Yeah,
we've all heard of it, basically, but we don't know too much about it.
I thought that was just a fake country from a Groucho Marx movie. Is that
Well, it sounds like it, but in actuality, it is kind of a fake country.
I'm teasing.
Basically, they have very lax laws on corporations. They're the Delaware of Europe.
Yeah.
The whole country is basically nothing but a bunch of P.O. boxes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you know, it's basically the European Union is really coming down on them because they're looking at them as being nothing more than a money laundering racket.
Sort of like what we have in this country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, this is like what it seems the powers that be would like to have happen here is have all operations offshore, and your corporate headquarters consists of a P.O. box at Park Avenue or something.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, that way would none of these lovely, wonderful, life-sustaining corporations would have to get involved in paying something like taxes. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't pay corporations don't have to pay any taxes in Liechtenstein.
Well, they almost don't have to here.
That's true, you know. But at any rate, I thought I'd check in, let the people at the forum know that I am going to be returning.
Oh, good.
Because I've been gone for a while.
Yeah, they have definitely missed you. We have missed your participation at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. So it'll be good to have you back.
Yeah. I've been in the middle of writing a book.
Oh, well, everybody's got some kind of an excuse. Right?
Yeah, I know.
Well, good. Well, what's it about, Spitfire?
Well, I'm going to start writing about solutions, about what the American condition is supposed to be. You know, like, for instance, the reason that the world got behind the United States was that it was the one country in the entire world that was an example to the world. We always keep hearing that we are an example to the world, but we forget what we were an example of. We are not an example of corporate greed. We are an example of the one place in the world where anybody, regardless of race, color, creed, religion, anything, could come here and be treated as an equal under the law.
That's true up to a point, and you know the point that it cuts off is its sexual orientation. We have always demonized gay folk, always.
Yeah.
Even though there is plenty of evidence that George Washington was queerer than a $3 bill, but we shouldn't go there because that would shatter myths. You're right. America
that's,
always
that's supposed to be the dream. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the dream. That was the idea that no matter who you are, you could come here, you could make it here. You wouldn't have to deal with the truly provincial attitude of your home country, who looks at America as being one of the provinces.
Although it hasn't been our history, that's been the dream.
Yeah, that's okay.
If you watch Gangs of New York, you can see how they treated the Irish.
Oh, I know. I watched that movie. Oh my God! I came out of that theater. I thought I had blood all over my pants, my shirt. It was awful. All right, Spitfire, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Let us know as the book comes along. Maybe we'll get you on as an author and talk about it. Okay?
Oh, that would be something.
All right, Spitfire, take care.
Okay.
Take care. Appreciate it. Okay, who can we pick on next? Mark is calling from Bethlehem, PA. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Great to have you back.
Thank you, sir. Isn't this about the time of year when your post office starts to really stack up with forwarded mail?
I don't know. Should it?
Never mind. Because it's Bethlehem. You get it? Christmas? A lot of people... all right. Well, I thought
actually,
you...
Christmas is my birthday, too, but that's...
okay.
Seriously, but... Anyway, the reason I'm calling is about impeachment being off the table.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nancy Pelosi and John Conyers, who know that there's been impeachable offenses. And why they would say that.
Well,
and I think it's to forestall something worse from happening until they actually take control. They really don't dare to threaten these people into maybe another false flag terror event.
Well, that's one of several theories that say it's not really off the table, that the Democratic leadership is just stalling for time. Another theory is once the hearings and investigations and subpoenas start to fall, the American public will listen to the testimony to a certain extent and demand these bastards be thrown out of office.
Well, I'm just reading a lot of things on the internet. People are freaking because it's off the table, but I think they're just saying it's off the table. I think that they're just trying to forestall anything like declaring of martial law because these people are scared they're going to prison or worse.
Well, I'm not really disagreeing, and that's what scares me, with anything you're saying. We've gotten to the point in this country where we know that in the top leadership positions in the executive branch are nuts, crazy people who would engineer an attack against this country in order to get what they want. Oh, my God.
You had Webster Tarpley on, and right. I read his book, and wow, that's dynamite. And, it's totally plausible. If anybody has not read that book, I encourage them to read it. That's Synthetic Terror, 9/11,
yeah.
Made in USA.
Right.
Great book.
Yeah,
and that's what concerns me now.
And a lot of people say, oh, my God, here's one of Molloy's callers talking about it was an attack engineered by the Bush crime family. Quick, put your tinfoil hat on. And my answer to that, and I've said this before, so our regular listeners will yawn right now, but Operation Northwoods, which was put together by the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1961 and presented to John Kennedy.
Exactly.
Was a perfect blueprint for what occurred, if one wants to imagine this, for what occurred on this country on September 11, 2001. Only the alleged perpetrator in 1961 was going to be Cuba. The alleged perpetrator in 2001 was a stateless band of Islamic terrorists, when in fact they weren't stateless at all. Of the 19 people that came here and bombed us, 15 of them were Saudis. But...
I think it's important for anybody that thinks that this is tinfoil hat stuff is that nobody's saying that this is definitely what happened.
Right.
It's a working hypothesis because we did not have a reasonable and transparent investigation. And the 9/11 truth movement is just saying we don't know what really happened,
mm-hmm.
but this theory of ours more closely obeys the facts of the case. It's the official story that can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we know is the official story is false on its face. And, these are a working hypothesis of what probably happened that day.
Well, so. and that's how I take it. I don't subscribe to any particular thought or idea about what happened on September 11, 2001, but I damn sure don't buy the official story. I can't. And the reason I can't is because I have a brain that still works. And I still know that one and one really is two, and that when somebody holds up all their digits, unless they've just come back from Iraq, they're really five fingers there, not three. So, I can't get into it either. I'm probably right where you are, Mark. Hey,
yeah.
Let me boogie. I appreciate you checking in, all right?
Okay, great to have you back, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call. Bob is calling from San Jose, California. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, I want to welcome you back to the Bay Area. Probably you may hear that again and again.
Well, I'm glad to be back. The only time I won't be on is when you have, the basketball games?
Yeah, University of San Francisco. I sent you a schedule for that, by the way.
Oh, are you the one that sent me that?
Yes.
Well, thank you. That was very kind of you to do that.
I'm a broadcaster. I know about these things. You probably would like a heads up, and I thought if they didn't give it to you, I would.
Well, I haven't asked for it, and there it was in my email this evening, and I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Well, anyway, what I really call about is I think there was such a tidal wave going against the Republicans, even with rigged machines, even with the caging lists, even with all the various shenanigans, they couldn't stop it.
I think you may be right. That was Greg Palast's theory, and I think there's a lot of truth to it.
And there's one other news person whose name you didn't mention, but you should have, Amy Goodman.
Oh, yeah. Amy, in what context?
Well, somebody who you can trust.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
She's not on commercial radio and television, but she is there, and it's a whole hour with basically very little interruption and a lot of solid reporting going on.
There is, and I really appreciate Democracy Now!, and I appreciate what she has done over the years. The only question I have about... Amy Goodman, and I get this secondhand, so I'm going to make the assumption that the information I get is true, is that she's made it very clear that she doesn't want to talk about 9/11. Other than
that's true too.
Other than the official story, and a lot of folks who take that position on the left have been labeled left gatekeepers. In other words,
yeah, I've heard that.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
Let me do this break, Bob, okay. and I'll come back. All right. Yeah, quick break here. We'll be right back. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. The oldest trick in the book is make an enemy. A phony evil soldier government can do its dirt and take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search. Oil, blood, money make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being ass crossed, take away your rights to freedom.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Okay, that's the second time you brought it up, so I guess I better say it. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? All right, we're talking with Bob in San Jose. Let's go back to him. Now, where were we, Bob? Bob?
Bob. Eventually you thought there was some left-side gatekeeping going on.
Yeah, that's what I've heard about Amy Goodman. I like her program. I like her interviews. Yeah. I like the fact that there is no flash or pizzazz. They just get right to the news, and their interviews are dynamite. The only one I think who comes close to Amy Goodman is Terry Gross on NPR with her interviews at times when she has someone on. But
well, I think there's a lot more gatekeeping over there.
Well, that's true. That's very true. But there's no reason for it on Democracy Now. And I don't want to get into a spitting contest with Amy Goodman because I love her program. But that's what I've heard, and that kind of irks me because the defining issue of the 21st century to this point has been the attack on the United States, allegedly by 19 hijackers.
There is a I guess you'd call it an academic movement that KPFA, yeah, which is the Pacifica station out here in the Bay Area and the first of the Pacifica stations, had a fundraiser, and they had four people whose names are right now escaping me. I'm not good at instant recall of names, but mm-hmm. it was literally sold out and overflowing, and I'll send you some links to the information.
And these are people who disagreed with the official story?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
and
good.
They're talking about all kinds of things like how does concrete turn into dust that's the consistency of flour?
Right, right.
You know, that doesn't just happen.
Yeah, well, that's why I say when you have an event that defines our certainly after this point our era and certainly defines the 21st century, the defining event of the 21st century so far was an act of terror that killed 3,000 people and on U.S. soil, which hadn't occurred since the War of 1812, I guess. So. You know, for anyone to say it's the case is closed, all the evidence is in, here's the verdict, to me, this is a mistake.
I tend to think what they're really doing is saying, well, we're not going to go there. Not necessarily the case is closed. I think it's just we don't want to go there.
But that means it's closed. If people don't want to go there, this could, you know, if the truth is different from what the Bush crime family says it is, and I do believe it is.
Well, yeah.
It could shake the very foundations of not just this country, but a couple more.
Oh yes, absolutely, and a whole lot of people would have their whole world would then fall apart.
Well, which might not be a bad thing.
Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that you're well received out here in the Bay Area.
Thanks,
as far
Bob.
As I know, and I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Take care, Bob. Take care. You know, as far as things being shaken at foundations and brought down, is it which Hindu god is it who sleeps? Is it Vishnu? And creation ends when he wakes up. Everything falls apart. It's destroyed. And when he goes back to sleep, then creation begins again. Is it Vishnu? Is it Krishna? Maybe it's Krishna. I don't even know. Kathy rolls her eyes. You don't give a damn, do you? He's sleeping on a lotus leaf, by the way.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right. Made him out of clay.
All right. You were such a good Methodist when we met. Back to the phone calls. Tiffany is calling from Sparks, Maryland. Hey, Tiffany.
Hey.
You're back for more abuse, huh?
Oh, of course, but you never abuse me. You're a sweetheart.
All right, Tiffany.
Oh, well, I'm looking at this whole internet neutrality thing, you know, and I, for those who don't know, it's the COPE Act, and I don't know if you want me to go into what that is, but...
All right, now what is it again? Say it again.
It is the Communications Opportunity Promotion...
Oh, that's right. Okay.
...Expansion Act, right? Okay. And this is where the big telecom companies want to come charge people more money, more money for faster access, because they didn't live up to their promise back in the mid-90s. Of course, they made billions in tax breaks and incentives to build a fiber optic network, but they took the money and they never built the network.
Yeah.
So now they want these companies to pay more for information to travel on their outdated network, and they want the companies to pass that expense on to us, the consumer.
Yeah, it'll be the slow internet and the fast internet.
Yeah, the horse and buggy versus the Estella train. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
Anyway, there's a great site I wanted to kind of help direct people to. It's called SaveTheInternet.com.
SaveTheInternet.com?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can go there. You can see who's for neutrality, who's against it. You can sign a petition. There are over 1 million people who have signed the petition to date. There are over 840 groups that have come together in a coalition to stop this.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you can see all kinds of stuff. One thing I noticed, though, is that, strangely enough, you know, there are more Republicans that are against net neutrality than Democrats, and there are more Republicans who refuse to take a stand on it at all than there are Democrats, which I kind of thought was an amusing, you know, little side thought.
But isn't that what we were talking about earlier? Republicans are not creative. They're not independent thinkers. They don't like to be in a position where they have to make a decision. They want someone else to lead them, someone else to make their decisions, someone else tell them what to think, which is the sole reason of the sustained popularity of really a goof like Rush Limbaugh, who adds nothing to popular discourse, nothing to political discourse, but because he comes across with such a bombastic attitude of, I will tell you what to think, I will tell you exactly, you don't have to try to figure this out, folks, I'm here to tell you that everything you're going to hear on this program, I run the Advanced Institute for Conservative Studies, blah, 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 blah. Because he's been doing that for 15 years, his audience is just, you know, they show up at noon Eastern time every day, ready to do whatever he says.
I want everybody today to, I want everybody today, you have guns, don't you? I've told you to go buy guns. Go get your gun, all right? Now, cock it. That's good. Now, put the barrel in your mouths. Now, pull the trigger.
Hey, I got to go. Thanks thanks for checking in, Tiffany. Take care.
All right.
Quick break. We'll be back. Final hour coming up. Oh, by the way, if you want that synthetic terror, you can get it at tvnewslies.org for a donation. tvnewslies.org. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, I got a bunch of emails in here about Amy Goodman and the two guys who produced, wrote, and directed Loose Change, that apparently Amy had them on for a debate with a couple of people from Popular Mechanics magazine. The position of that magazine, of course, the editorial position, is that the theories about the buildings being blown up and this and that were nonsense. Why Popular Mechanics, I don't know. But so several emails here from Tom and from George and from Adam and Michael and just a bunch of folks about Amy Goodman has, on two occasions apparently, talked about it. And again, I have no axe to grind with Amy Goodman. I think what she does is fine. George writes, Amy allowed the two fellows some loose change on the program to debate Popular Mechanics reps. I'm sure it was an answer to that very charge that they're playing left gatekeeper. Now, on the other hand, Reggie over at TV News Lies points out, she says her editor, Jesse, the editor of TVNewsLies.org, directly confronted Amy Goodman and asked her why she has refused to raise any of the issues surrounding the anomalies and contradictions in the official version of 9/11. Jesse did that at a fundraiser he attended to help Greg Palast raise money for legal fees when he was being sued, and Amy refused to respond. She had no answer, just walked away. Something is very wrong. So I'm sure that was probably prior to the debate on Amy Goodman's program. And again, I just want to make it clear, I have no beef with Amy Goodman. I think her program is great. We had at one time here, and I think we're going to get it back, satellite television, so I used to be able to watch her program live the same way that sometimes in the morning now I watch Don Imus' program live. And I can't wait. As soon as we get a dead tree here on the property cut down that is in our line of the satellite line of fire, believe it or not, it's a huge dying, if not already dead. It's been hit by lightning once, and half of it toppled on our house about 6-8 months ago. It's an old Bradford pear tree, the biggest Bradford pear tree. That sucker must be 80 feet up in the air. So at that point, we will be able to see Democracy Now! Again on television. We do not have a Pacifica station here in Atlanta. We do have WRFG that's been on the air since 72, which is community-supported radio, and they do carry, I believe they carry some of Pacifica's programming. Do they carry Amy Goodman? They don't. No. I don't think they can afford it. Isn't that the issue? Yeah. Okay, back to your phone calls. Joy is calling from Santa Cruz. Joy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Joy, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm not a first-time caller anymore, am I?
No, you're not.
Well, I wanted to tell you about something which I think is really exciting, and I would like to encourage all of your listeners to get involved in.
All right.
It's called the Congressional Committee Project.
Congressional Committee Project.
Yeah, and what we're doing is, I'm sorry, I'm going to close the door so my husband's listening. He's listening to Daily Show.
Oh, well, okay.
Sometimes I have to, too. You know.
No, that's fine. That's fine with me.
I love both of you. It's a toss-up every night.
It just tears your heart apart, doesn't it?
It just does. I wish you weren't on at the same time. The Congressional Committee Project is something that was started on the Daily Kos, which is basically a bunch of us regular citizens, like mm-hmm. you and me and anybody else, who are going to tune in to the various congressional committees that are now going to be taking care of Congress,
right.
especially in the next 2 years.
Right.
And I personally took on the Global Warming Project, mm-hmm. which is underneath the committee. It's a subcommittee that's underneath the Committee of Commerce, Transportation, and Science, because this is something, to me, it's one of the most important issues that we've got.
Sure.
Which is global warming.
Right.
But I wanted to encourage people to go to Daily Kos and then do a search for, because I could give you the URL, but it would be almost impossible.
No, it's okay. That's right. All right, go to Daily Kos and search for what?
The Congressional Committee Project.
Congressional Committee Project, okay.
And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be watching these various projects or these various committees and mm-hmm. seeing what they're doing for us so we can keep our congressmen's feet to the fire on the issues that are the most important for us.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I like that.
Whether that's restoring wetlands or whether that's working on fighting global warming or whether that's getting rid of this Military Commissions Act, we have so much work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take more than just the people who are in Congress and the Senate to do it. It's going to take all of us. And we all need to get involved because now we have sympathetic ears who will listen to what we have to say.
We also have, the Democrats also now have subpoena power. They can set the agenda. They can call for these hearings, and they can insist on witnesses show up under penalty of law if they don't. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
And that's why it's so important that we all get involved now. And I think what so excites me about this concept is that we are actually going to influence Congress.
Boy, what a novel idea.
Yeah. This is going to be the people being the watchdog on the Congress, which is an unusual concept. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up a post up on Mike Malloy's forum.
Okay.
So that people can find out how to connect to this. It's a little hard, it's a little bit arcane in terms of how to get to it.
Well, good. I hope you do that. You know, I was being a trifle sarcastic there, Joy, when I said, boy, what a novel idea. Isn't the whole idea of representative government to represent the people? That's why we have 435 districts. And I just find it kind of ticks me off, while at the same time, I think that's an excellent idea, but it irritates me that we have to do this so independent of what Congress, what the function of Congress is supposed to be to begin with.
I agree.
That makes sense? Yeah, okay.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think this should have been taken care of a long time ago, but
it
now
hasn't
that we
been,
have
so
a Democrat.
Now, right, now it's time for the people
for
to
us
do something.
To kick them in their whatever.
Sure.
And take control and say, look, we're watching you. Little brother's watching big brother, and we want to make sure you're doing the work of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good idea to do this because I think it's going to make people motivated to get involved when they find out that we have the ability to influence things.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this
I think
is
it's
the most exciting thing I've ever been involved in.
I think it's a good idea. Send me a URL if you can convert it to a tiny URL. Go to tinyurl.com and send it to me, and I'll be happy to put it over the air in addition to your posting it at my website. Sounds like a great idea. Let's talk about this again, okay?
Okay, I'll call you back in, about 2 weeks?
15 minutes. No, that's good, Joey. Do call back whenever the spirit moves you. And when you do call, have the tiny URL, and we'll get it out there.
Okay, I love you, Mike.
It sounds like a great idea. Thanks a lot, Joy.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, you take care. That's an excellent idea, to have clots of people around the country who literally monitor what these congressional committees are doing.
Yeah, Democrats, we're family, and we have to be our own think tanks.
Yeah, that's very true, since the Democratic Party, for the most part, we don't have that. Think tank? What the hell's a think tank? Is that where you get in the tank and think? I'll bet that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. both Cindy and Pamela emailed in about the Popular Mechanics article, and both emails state the same thing. The senior researcher on that piece was Benjamin Chertoff, who's the cousin of Michael Chertoff, the vampire, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Alex Jones did a lot of digging on the story, Cindy writes, and exposes it at Infowars.com, and then just do a search for Popular Mechanics. And Pamela also sent it about that. So I remember hearing about that, that, that one of the authors, or the so-called researchers on that Popular Mechanics piece, was really directly connected to Michael Chertoff, whose name in Russian means of the devil. Now, let's see how many people correct me on that. Chertoff. Of the devil. Back to your phone calls. Eric is calling from Santa Barbara, California. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I just want to say I'm a big fan. I've been listening since August of 04.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And I just want to talk a little bit about protesting. Like, I remember back in, I think, May of 05, you, like, pretty much encouraged me to go to that protest in, I think it was September of 05.
Uh-huh.
It was a really great event. It was about 300,000 people.
Right.
And I, at the time, it seemed really good. I mean, it, I guess it would have been bigger, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that encouraged me to go again last spring in New York.
Right.
And it was almost like, it was kind of like the same people, you know?
Uh-huh.
I saw a lot of the same people.
Sure.
And I just think that we're going to have to keep that going, even with this new thing that we have, because otherwise, I don't think some of these people get it. You know, like this Hoyer guy, mm-hmm. he doesn't really get it on the war yet. What do you think?
Well, I think you're making a very good point about people getting complacent now and saying, well, the battle's over. The troops are coming home tomorrow. The Environmental Protection Agency has been restored. The website now has facts on it. We're not going to teach our kids intelligent design anymore, none of which is true. The Democrats took back the House and the Senate. That is just a tiny baby step in a thousand-mile march of trying to get this country back in line with the rule of law. I think somebody has introduced something in the House to restore habeas corpus that has been denied now to, well, actually to anybody, depending on Bush's whim. But I, you're making a very, very good point, and that is when you've been slapped around for 6 years, actually for 12 years, when you've been slapped around and denied what common sense would dictate is the way to go in a democratic republic. When you get a little tiny victory like we had a Tuesday election day, everybody wants to cheer and say, okay, the battle's over, which is insane. The battle has barely begun. And this is like the cannons firing on Fort Sumter. What? So it's, I hope that people will hear what you're saying. And I hope the demonstrations now increase in size and in frequency and in raucousness. It's time for civil disobedience on a massive scale. It's time to say to the powers that be, go screw yourself. We're not going to do this anymore, because it's obvious that the majority of the American people, at least the ones who are active in the voting process, have also had enough. You know, they may only be able to go to their polling place and cast a vote, which is, I'm not denigrating them for that. Their lives may be such that that's all they can do. But those of us who can gather in the hundreds of thousands in Chicago and L.A. and New York forget Atlanta, San Francisco and Dallas and wherever, and demand, it doesn't make any difference that the Democrats are back in power of the legislative branch. That means squat. The policies are going to continue until the people say enough. So
exactly.
I hear you loud and clear on this issue, Eric, and you're right about seeing the same people. You know, whenever there is a peace or anti-war demonstration here in Atlanta or something, and we all show up down at the Fulton County Courthouse or at the Richard Russell Federal Building, the same 39 people will be there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, well, Molly's really growing up, you know, and it just drives us insane here. You know, this is a state of, I don't know, how many, 10 million people, and we can get 40 people together to protest a fascist takeover of the United States? I don't know. I you're making a good point, and I didn't mean to do all the talking, but I agree with you, okay?
All right. Thanks again, Mike, and you keep it up, man.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Okay. Take care.
You too. We'll be back after the break. This is Nova M Radio. I always want to say this is Air America. No, it's not.
We were on the ball. We did not believe in the writing on the wall. We did our best work in the dark. We did our thinking on the run. We would hang together, or they'd hang us one by one. Gone like footprints, whisper on the wind. A lover was a comrade, was a stranger, was a friend. When we slept on.
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. You know, I haven't been mentioning it as I should, and I do want you to go to our website at novamradio.com. The site is, our engineer up there, Billy, is building all sorts of aspects into that site. It's going to be interactive. There's going to be all sorts of things there. So get used to going to novamradio.com and... send us all your money, or not. Robert is calling from New Orleans. Robert, welcome to the program.
Well, actually, I'm not. I used to be your New Orleans bureau chief.
Well, what happened? Did you get fired?
No, I don't know. Am I? But no, I had to move from New Orleans because of Katrina. Yeah. Well, not because of Katrina, because of post-Katrina economic.
Where do you live now?
I'm living in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'm applying now for the job of New Orleans Diaspora Bureau Chief.
Okay, you've got it.
I don't
fire bureau chiefs. Once you become a bureau chief, you're a bureau chief for life. I mean,
yeah.
Forever. When the ceremony is given at your funeral, that's one of the things they mention.
Well, you know, this is the first time I've had a chance to call you since Katrina. But you know, I've heard a little bit of the news. For example, I heard that somebody said you had a minuscule audience or something like that.
No.
Well, I think now that you're not at Air America, that's got to be a lie because it's got to be minuscule.
Minuscule. Yeah, I probably have the smallest audio in talk radio, smallest audience in talk radio, but the most potentially violent.
we messed them up in the midterms, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
Yes. You know what I love? I'm reading this book. I started reading it right before the midterms, and I stopped because I was volunteering for this campaign down here. No chance of winning anything because she had $50,000 and her opponent had $1 million, and he was the incumbent. Reading this book, The Courage of Our Convictions by Gary Hart. I don't know if you had a chance to read that or not.
I have not. I'm so behind on my reading that it's a sin and an outrage. But I'm familiar with the book, yeah.
But what I like about it, what he talks about, is staying away from this so-called centrism and like standing up with your conviction.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and that's sort of like the point he's pounding home, you know, and I'm thinking about this election, everybody's saying, well, you know, the Democrats won because they were so conservative this time. I think we had six of the 29 pickups were pro-life. So that means 23 of them were good old-fashioned Democrats.
Well, and see, if I might interject something here, I think it is... It's not only possible, but very much probable that people who are pro-choice are also anti-abortion. I know people here in the state of Georgia who are active in the National Abortion Rights Action League, and those are the people who who really push for the right of a woman to have her privacy left intact. And to the last person, all of us that are involved in that are not in favor of abortion. I don't know anyone who's pro-choice who sits back and go, oh, good, let's go remove some more fetuses forcibly.
Exactly.
You know, everybody. I think 99.9% of people are anti abortion. Let's face it, it is an unnatural procedure. There are cases when it is absolutely necessary to terminate a pregnancy for obvious, to the physician anyway, obvious physical reasons. But beyond that, this is not a issue to me of a person's right to choose. It's a person's right to privacy.
Exactly.
And that's what the Supreme Court ruled. That's what Roe v. Wade was all about. It was not about whether or not an abortion should be legal or illegal. It was about whether or not a woman had a constitutional protection that guaranteed her the right to privacy. So I never talk about a so-called right to choose. To me, that is a cheesy phrase that puts people in a position, because of the way the argument's been framed, of saying, well, do I want this unborn baby to live or die? That's not the issue. The issue is a woman's right to privacy as guaranteed through 230 years of a living constitution. So,
I think also that it is completely possible to be against abortion and be a good old-fashioned liberal. You know, you talk about Heath Shuler and John Tester, how conservative they supposedly are, but if you listen to either one of them talk about economic fairness and economic justice,
sure,
those are good old-fashioned FDR-type liberals.
They are indeed.
On the issue. This was a win for economic fairness and economic justice. Every one of them, Bernie Sanders, Brown Sherrod Brown in
Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah, sure.
You know, all of these guys are just good, old-fashioned, blue-collar, right, you know,
coalition Democrats. Yeah,
exactly.
I think what's going on here, Robert, is so many people on the right or in the Republican Party or in the religious right are absolutely stunned that Americans finally said, wait a minute, this is way, way, way insane, and did something to stop it. So in order to justify that, they say, well, you know, it's not liberal, it's a return to the center, or it's all conservative Democrats. That's a lie, and if these right-wingers have to tell themselves that lie in order to not commit suicide, okay, go ahead and tell yourselves that lie. But, you know, the age of incipient fascism in this country is over, unless this is all some plot by Karl Rove. Hey, Robert, I got to leave it there. You're the
all
new
right.
Diaspora New Orleans Bureau Chief, all right?
All right, thank you.
Treat it with respect.
All right, take
care. Bernie Sanders, first socialist in the Senate. Sherrod Brown, unapologetic liberal, beats Mike DeWine by 12 points. John Tester, populist, wins Senate seat after destroying the D.C. CC favorite, center-right John Morrison in the primary. Amy Klobuchar, Democratic farm labor senatorial candidate, wins by 20-point margin. Sheldon Whitehouse, liberal Democrat, beats centrist Republican Lincoln Chafee. Jim Webb beats George Makaka Allen. Webb's strong anti-war, pro-economic justice message prevailed. Jim McNerney beats Richard Pombo after a primary win over the DCC-backed Steve Filson. Pombo, of course, being the man who would like to have seen the Environmental Protection Agency burned. Keith Ellison, anti-war Muslim, wins multi-candidate primary, goes on to take Minnesota's 5th District seat. John Hall, musician and environmental activist, wins Sue Kelly's House seat after taking 48% of the vote in a four-way primary. Carol Shea Porter wins New Hampshire House seat after beating centrist and party favorite Jim Craig in the primary, 54% to 34%. This was sent to me by J.G., several days ago, and it goes on and on. Tammy Duckworth, DCCC supported ambiguously centrist candidate, loses Illinois House seat to Pete Roskam. Harold Ford Jr., pro-life, anti-gay, pro-war Democrat, loses Tennessee Senate race to Bob Corker. In Missouri, stem cell bill passed. In South Dakota, the abortion ban crushed. Minimum wage increases passed by six states. Parental notification laws regarding abortion defeated in two states. In Dallas, from Dallas, Texas, 41 of 42 judgeships switch from Republicans to Democrats in Texas. And it goes on and on and on. This was not a move to the center. This was people getting off their asses and going out to vote, because I think it began to dawn on an inordinate number of Americans, given our propensity to not even get off our asses and go vote, that the country was drifting into some sort of a neo-fascist, right-wing, religious nutball frame that was gutting, ending, a woman's right to privacy? Give me a break. Where's that in the Constitution? Get them bitches home! That sort of attitude. First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Eighth Amendment, Twelfth Amendment, just all of them going down the toilet. This was not a move to the center. This was a move by Democrats and liberals and progressives to finally wake up to the urgency of stopping this neo-Nazi machine from taking over the country. It has been stopped, but it's only temporary. And it brings us right back to what we were talking about. If you think this is a victory, and you're a liberal or a Democrat or a progressive, or in other words, a normal American, you're wrong. This was not a victory. This was a stopgap temporary measure. We've got 2 years to clean these cockroaches out of our judicial, or out of our government, our legislative branch, our executive branch, to clean these cockroaches out, to spray them dead, get them out. And then it's going to take 15 or 20 years to cleanse the judiciary and to put back into the judiciary people who understand the rule of law, not ideological right-wing nonsense. So there's an enormous job in face that we're facing. This victory on November 7th was a tiny, tiny step. Now it's time to really kick ass.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
It's about 10 before the hour. Boy, the crew in Phoenix tonight was one person, handled everything. Ian Huff, talk about multitasking, engineered the program, answered the calls, ran everything. Thanks, Ian. I really appreciate it. You can fire everybody else now. Chris in Minnesota is our... No, don't do that. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. And thanks to the militant mods at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Ben Birch of WhiteRoseSociety.org archives the program. And podcasting and downloads of this program now available at NovaRadio.com. The correction, the first correction for the second hour of the program is from Jim in Atlanta. WRFG here in Atlanta does carry Amy Goodman's program every day at 5 p.m. thanks, Jim. We'll have the third hour corrections tomorrow in the first hour of the program. Jesus, I wish I could get it all right, Kathy. I don't know. About Pelosi, this is from Reg at TVNewsLies.org. For decades now, Republicans have become accustomed to following their leaders without question or challenge. This kind of ties back to what we were saying earlier. This time around, they've gone overboard in their lemming response to their own leadership as they willingly cooperated in the destruction, I would say the attempted destruction, of our Constitution. In that process, Republicans have unashamedly embraced dictatorship as a replacement for debate and discussion, and blind obedience to their handlers as a substitute for any legitimate election process. They are now trying to validate that philosophy through their complicit media hirelings. Trent Lott's election to his former post in the Senate was hailed by every pundit other than Keith Olbermann as a laudable victory over an opponent. The corresponding Democratic challenge for leadership was reviled as a defeat for Nancy Pelosi and a nasty catfight with the new Senate-elect. Pelosi was criticized for not being able to dictate to the Democrats for whom they must vote. How terribly sad that they must all have one way to think and one person to obey. This is only the beginning. Yeah, please keep that in mind. I don't have to tell you. You all have been watching television the past several days, especially today when the Democratic caucus got together behind closed doors and decided who their leadership was going to be. And you saw, as well as I saw, the attitude of television reporters and pundits and media. And Reg is absolutely right. You know, Trent Lott displayed a victory. Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Jack Murtha were just another obvious example of infighting, catfighting Democrats. Jesus, it just makes me sick. Sometimes the bias is so blatant. And it's going to continue. Don't think it's not going to continue. Because evangelical preachers, television news directors, and Republicans all like one thing, a straight chain of command. And the Democrats are not going to do that. We never have. Go all the way back to Will Rogers. I'm not a member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat. That's right. So look for this smarmy, snotty attitude on the part of television reporters and pundits to continue, even the alleged Democrats, with the obvious, glaring exception of Keith Olbermann, who doesn't buy into this bat squeeze any more than you do or I do. So it was so irritating today to watch this, especially the former German U-boat commander who now works at CNN, Wolf Blitzer. Every time he walks on stage, I want to start singing the Horst Wessel song. Just, oh, now what? What did I mispronounce that too? What? All right, all you German speakers.
How old are you? What is that song?
That's an old German war song.
How? Which war? World War I?
I don't know. I don't care. We've only got another 2 minutes
the Crusade
of this program. And finally tonight, this is from Yellow Jacket. So this Mark must be a Georgia Tech student or graduate. Mike, hi, I'm a 23-year-old lifelong Democrat who listens to your show just about every night. Anyway, on your program tonight, you said you can't see Democracy Now! Because you don't have satellite. If you go to democracynow.org, they have a podcast link, and you can use a podcasting service like iTunes to download and watch them. And if you have an iPod or some other portable video device, you can take the show on the go. I know. That was kind of hokey, he writes. I'm so glad you're back on the air on Nova M. Almost freaked out when you were axed from AAR because you were my favorite host. You still are, just on a new network. Mark, keeps speaking truth to power. Thanks, Mark. All of a sudden I feel like if I stand up right now, Kathy, all my bones are going to creak. You know, Mark, thank you. But yeah, I know about democracy. I know about podcasting and downloads. We do it here too. But no, Mark's just trying to be a good guy. I know. You know, Mark must listen to this program and say, God, I feel so sorry for the old man. Let me just tell him here, you don't have to watch it on the TV, Mike. You can hear it. And Jim in Atlanta says, well, Mike, yeah, it's available every day on RFG. I don't know. I try. I really do try. But I've got a 2-year-old. So that's my excuse. Thanks, everybody, for participating in the program tonight. I do appreciate it, no matter how you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.